The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
It's 8 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us for this hour. We're going to take a more serious tone here. Because as we have been telling you, and as I have been, my experience has taken me into the HaltHospitalHomicide.com scenario. Medical murder seems to be a real problem, especially with the COVID protocols. And of course, if you were victim, you fell victim, or your family member fell victim to this, you're going to take this conversation with a little bit of an uplifting tone, because Scott Shara is with us and talking about his daughter, Grace, who had Down syndrome. She's a beautiful girl, had a lot to live for. And the assertions are, is that she was murdered with a three-drug cocktail at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin. Do I have my facts straight there, Scott?
You do. Thank you for replaying.
See,
that,
I can't, Scott, I can't let go of it. This is something that is so profound. The details just sit in the back of my craw. I just can't let go of it. You lose a daughter. Nobody, no parent deserves to lose their kid. Nobody, no parent. They got to see them grow up and have a future. You know, we all want that for our children. But then when you get them in a situation like this, where the hospital just comes in and like takes over, well, now, you know, this is, you're restrained, you're doped up, they don't let your family members in, you get to watch your daughter pass away on FaceTime. I'm like, this has got to be the most horrendous thing a parent could endure. And I'm sorry for that, that you had to go through it. Fortunately, there is hope now, because you have a new announcement you want to make here in the show.
I do, and thank you for that introduction, Dave. In fact, you know, what is the most, the hardest thing for a parent is the anniversary type dates, and we have one coming up tomorrow. September 22nd is Grace's 21st birthday, and, you know, those are tough dates, because, yeah, I was expecting her to be driving a car by now. We'd celebrate her 21st birthday, and you know, all those things that go along with that. And the 2-year anniversary of her murder is coming up October 13th. So, I mean, this is tough stuff. Anyway, all of that being said, I have dedicated my life into helping Grace's murder save other people. And that means an awful lot of time researching. And yesterday we released a major press release based on the research, thousands of hours now, that's titled Medical Murder is the Number One Cause of Death in the United States. And just to frame that claim, so I have all the backup for it. I mean, this is certainly easily provable, but you know, even the CDC has admitted that medical malpractice was the number three cause of death behind heart disease and cancer for a long time. So people have the numbers. Heart disease takes about 700,000 people a year. Cancer takes about 600,000, and medical malpractice about 400,000. So as I was looking at the COVID numbers, in the 39-month COVID era, there were 1.2 million hospital murders. I thought, well, that puts medical malpractice over the top of even heart disease because of all those deaths. But then when I started peeling back the layers, I saw that, you know, there is some legitimate medical malpractice. You know, doctors are human beings. They make mistakes just like any other people. So there is some legitimate medical malpractice. But as I peeled back the layers, I saw there is actually an agenda to hasten death. And hastening death is murder. So then it became a mission to show to the public that the reality of medical murder being the number one cause of death is real. And I'll give you a pointed example, Dave. When right now, 50% of the population is either on Medicare and Medicaid, that bureaucracy with those people account for over 50% of the annual federal budget. So that number has to be dealt with. And the way that they are selling dealing with that is we have got to hasten death. You know, they're not going to come out with this publicly, but look at the facts. So just take as an example, a person on Medicare. So we think we won the lottery when we're 65 and we get free health insurance. Remember, you paid for that your entire life. And now they give it back to you. It's supposedly free, but it's really death insurance. Because what happens once you get cancer, you go into the doctor's office and your first question after he diagnoses you with cancer is, does my insurance cover it? That's how we're programmed. And the doctor's programmed to only give you chemo and radiation, which have a 3% success rate, as the cure. Cancer's already been cured, folks. You just have to dig a little bit. We have the resource on Grace's website to show well over 20 different cures for cancer. But people don't know this because we're programmed for chemo and radiation. So then what happens is the doctor says the good news, your insurance covers it. He schedules you for your chemo and radiation treatment, and you just signed your death certificate. That's hastening death. Having your death date be shortened by the programming is medical murder.
I get it, and I agree with you. So you see, there came a point in time where this nefarious behavior from the government, and again, we talked about this the other day in the instance with Maui and all those children that are missing, that are deemed to have been turned into carbon by these directed energy weapons. But the thing is that you look at this as the part of the bigger picture, and you look at medical murder. You look at the fact that you just brought up in this press release that you put out all of the attributes of what the government does when it doesn't want to get held accountable for something. They let private corporations do this, which is why the doctor, I mean, they got their own little medical groups, all the hospitals, their own corporations, Big Pharma, its own corporation. Everybody goes out and gets a jab. And we got people calling the show this morning. I feel so sorry for them because now we get babies born with all sorts of medical problems because mommy went out and got two shots. And then you've got a situation like yours where they literally stuck needles in your daughter and gave her a 3-drug cocktail that took her life. And you were not allowed to be there. And so all of this has changed. I can understand, Scott, how this would change a person's life. You've got our Amazing Grace's Light Shines On, Inc. It's a nonprofit 501c3. Established to provide grants to individuals, including their family and organizations, who will shine God's light as Grace did. But the thing is, now somebody's got to pay for this, and you have instituted legal proceedings against St. Elizabeth's, and now I understand that we have a 3-week jury trial set in this landmark lawsuit. Do you want to fill me in on that?
Sure, and I'm going to just comment quickly about your big business being in on it, because this will shock people. There is, you know, statistically, there's an increase in all-cause mortality of the vaccinated by 24%. All right. So just think about that number. That's a huge number for life insurance companies to take on. All-cause mortality is increased by 13%. So the vaccinated 24%, all-cause mortality 13%. Those are impossible for insurance companies to take on that burden. Well, we just put a key man life insurance policy on one of our men in the business a couple of months ago. And I was curious if the life insurance application would ask the question about the jab. Because, you know, they ask you, do you jump out of airplanes? Do you smoke? Do you drink? All the things that they want to rate the policy with. They did not ask about the jab.
Wow.
So that told me that the government is behind, they're supporting the life insurance companies to lie because they want to keep this narrative going. All right. So I just had to get that off my chest, Dave. So
now no, that's all right. That's all right.
The lawsuit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, the thing is, when you read the insurance policies too, because I don't think half the people that take out policies understand that certain policies provisions within them, there are exceptions to everything. And one of them is if we end up in a civil war where people, you know, are going to get killed, the insurance doesn't cover it. Doesn't cover civil unrest, doesn't cover martial law, doesn't cover insurrection, doesn't cover any of that stuff. So, you know, good luck with that. I mean, this whole thing is designed literally to collapse our system, but this is not the half of it. When you're a government, and you want to do nefarious behavior, and instead of you being the evil twin, you get your corporate buddies to do your dirty work for you. I mean, this is what they're now insinuating that, you know, the U.S. and China, you know, cooked Maui with fires, with directed energy weapons, because, well, the U.S. couldn't be blamed for destroying all those kids in Maui. Now let's get the Chinese to do it. You know, so now we're in a finger pointing mode right now. And this is where, you know, you have this political tit for tat and everything gets caught in the middle. I mean, this whole thing surrounding your daughter, Grace, has turned into political tit for tat, because now you're competing against a private entity in court in front of a jury for 3 weeks. You're going to present evidence. You're going to be talking about everything. You're going to be questioning witnesses. Can you even disclose the number of witnesses you intend to call on the stand, or is that digging a little too deep?
We're not at that point yet. So discovery has just started.
Ah, okay.
So just to frame the dates, we filed the lawsuit on April 11th. We had the first hearing on July 14th. That hearing was for the judge to hear a motion to dismiss. He denied that motion and asked us to file an amended complaint, which we did on July 28th. That amended complaint resulted in two more partial motions to dismiss, which we believe will be heard. We're scheduling that right now. We think it's going to be on November 10th. And in spite of all of that, the judge went over the top on July 14th and said, we're scheduling a three-week jury trial for this case. And so he set that for November 4th of 2024, the day before the presidential election. That's day one of the trial. That'll be jury selection. The thing that is interesting, so I just also want to frame this case, because the way we filed is unique. We filed in state court, so then we didn't have the PREP Act to deal with. But then we also filed against five doctors and two nurses. So, of course, we filed against Ascension Hospital System. They're the largest Catholic hospital system in the United States. They're the second largest nonprofit. They save $1 billion a year in taxes for being a nonprofit. They're huge. They have $30 billion in cash reserves. And, you know, people ask all the time, you know, what are you going to do if you win? And, you know, so we're not taking any of the money, you know, assuming that we do win, but let's just go to the extreme. And I want people to really understand what we did here, because it's important. If the judge sees this as such an egregious case and he wants to make a point and an example out of Ascension Health System, and he says, listen, I'm going to award this family $1 billion in punitive damages. So I want people to wrap their head around that, because that could be reality. If he does that, that is the equivalent of nothing for Ascension Hospital System. Remember, they have $30 billion in cash reserves. We're not after money. We're after stopping the behavior. That's why we took the extraordinary step of not only filing against the hospital system, which has the money, but the five doctors and two nurses who were directly involved with Grace's death. And so people ask Dave, why do you keep up? Why do you keep going? I mean, this is costing us a bundle. It's all consuming. Well, if you knew where a serial killer lived and worked, what is your obligation? And I know where they live and work. So Gavin Shokar gave Grace the maximum dose of Presidex while he was on the phone with us telling us she had such a good day. He wrote a DNR, do not resuscitate order, on her life, simultaneous with hanging up the phone with my wife and I, her last day on earth, when he told us she had such a good day and we approved a feeding tube. Then we had nurse Holly McGinnis take those orders and implement them. She had 14 years of ICU experience. She not only did the Presidex, but combined it with lorazepam and morphine. That's a drug combination that you and I and none of the listeners could have survived. So these actors have to be held to account. And they have to know, and this is why we took that step. We want the entire world to know doctors and nurses cannot use following orders or following protocols as an excuse to kill somebody. This was not allowed in the Nuremberg trials the first time, and it's not going to be allowed the second time. And we're taking that stand, and that's why we filed the lawsuit. We want to stop the behavior. The doctors and nurses are the front lines. They can stop it in an instant.
Well, they could if they just said no, but then again, you know, how much or have you ascertained? I don't even know the answer to that question as far as Ascension Health. They don't receive federal funding for anything, do they? Or do they?
Well, sure they do. I mean, they received, in Grace's case, they received a $13,000 bonus for putting COVID-19 on her death certificate. So all these hospital systems are incentivized now by the government. And it's worse than what people think. So COVID exposed these numbers, of course, that you and I have talked about before. You know, the bonus for the ventilator, the death bonus, the COVID diagnosis bonus. But it's way worse than that. Just take the jab, for example. About a month ago, I was privy to a document from Blue Cross Blue Shield that they sent out to all of the family practitioners and pediatricians. And that document showed that if they could, in the last quarter of 2021, if they could convince 75% of their patients to get the jab, the individual doctor would receive a $296,000 bonus from the insurance company. Okay, so then you look at, well, there's a much bigger picture that's been going on for decades. The Center for Medicaid Services sets the standards of care for the entire country. It doesn't matter if you're on Medicare or Medicaid. And I'll give you a pointed example that happened to me 6.5 years ago. I should have woken up then. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough, but I was diagnosed with heart disease then. And they kept pushing the statin. They said, well, your cholesterol is 300. You got to get on the statin. And I started researching heart disease and found out, well, the cholesterol is not even in the top 10 of causes. So I didn't take their drugs. Well, the nurse pulled me aside after I rejected the drug. And she said, Scott, I want to tell you something you're not going to want to hear. And I said, well, what is it? And she said, we have to get you on the statin. I said, what do you mean you have to? She said, we accept Medicare and Medicaid, and our reimbursement rates are dictated based on what percentage of our client base we can get to follow the government protocols. So I'm not on any of these programs. So I thought, well, this doesn't apply to me. She said, it applies to everybody. That's how we are. That's how our reimbursement rates are determined. In fact, if enough of the people like you say no, we have to fire you because we have to keep our numbers up for our reimbursement rates. This is how nefarious this is. This is why I came out with this bold claim that medical murder is the number one cause of death in the United States. It's by far. I mean, there's not even a close number two, Dave.
It makes sense. 844-769-2944. Scott's been doing a lot of research, all because of what happened to his daughter. And like I said, I continue to feel for this because the protocols were being followed to the detriment of Grace Shara and to the benefit of Ascension Health. So I got to look at the fact that, you know, we're talking about the insurance companies having to make all these payouts, and the hospital's got insurance, and I'm sure the insurance companies are fighting you on this. But the thing is that, you know, these people that actually did the dirty, they knew what they were doing when they did it. They were following orders, because if they didn't, their stuff would be cut off. We've had this conversation now about how CMS, the Medicare entity, works. But see, now we're all, and you also made mention a very obvious fact that here we've spent all our life working and paying into this system. Now we're getting it all back with a benefit we don't want. And I guess my follow-up to that would be, what? I mean, we've had this conversation. You know, you're not the only one. My wife and I have even been talking about this. Well, look, we're wasting all this money with Medicare. We don't go to the doctor. We don't trust modern medicine. What other option do we have? If we get sick, then what? You know, we have a long-term illness. We have something that Medicare would normally pay for. You know, you're kind of caught between, and most of America, that is in the segment you just described, Scott, is between a rock and a hard place. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And they did this on purpose. They is the globalists did this on purpose. They wanted us to get caught between a rock and a hard place. So they're snapping the control grid in place. They have just about all the pieces in place. And the answer to that question is the only one that we can trust is the Lord. And yep. that is the only answer at this point. You know, we can protect ourselves. There's no question about that. Once you're awake, you can do some things to protect yourself. But if you have somebody who is hunting you down, you can't protect yourself from that. Look at what has happened historically, biblically. God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he will do that for us when we put our faith in him. That's the only answer. It has always been the only answer. But we fell trapped to the tree of knowledge. All of us, we made medicine an idol. And to all of us to some degree. And we've got to come back and repent and put our faith in the Lord. And that is the only answer. And, you know, he got us. He allows this stuff so that we repent. There's no question about it. And that's where we're at.
Well, I don't even like that idea. I mean, just that thought about rocking a hard place. I just don't even like those options. Jeff in North Carolina, you're on with Scott Schar. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Dave. I'll be quick here. God bless you, sir. I'm sorry about what happened to her, and I'm really sorry about that. My question is, sir, and I appreciate you bringing up the Lord, Yeshua, and God in this equation, because that's the bottom line. That's all that's going to matter in the end. These people, they're going to be held accountable. They think they might be getting by with this stuff behind closed doors, and they might be out there right now thinking everything's all right. God's going to get them in the end. So anyway, my question is, I have been in and out of the hospital quite a bit over the past 10 years. I had some stuff hit me really hard. You got me thinking, let's say that you go in, somebody goes into a hospital, and let's say they're in a state where they're not conscious. Now, will some hospitals automatically inject you with, let's say, the COVID shot or the jab? Or will they start jabbing you with stuff without your permission or without you knowing? Is that how they're operating? And I'll get off here, and I appreciate you so much. God bless y'all.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Scott, what do you think? Yeah.
Fantastic question. And the answer to that, unfortunately, is yes. And I'm going to give you another story so that I can connect the dots. My wife and I rescued Robert Pazer out of a hospital in Green Bay, Wisconsin last November. And Robert has spinal muscular atrophy. His sister had called me, said, can you help? She had heard of us because of the billboards. And I said, yes, I can. And at that point, I was educated on the medical directives document. So I went into the hospital, sat down with Robert. He was in the bed, of course. He was just about dead. He had already been given 6 doses of remdesivir. And I sat down with him, his sister, who was power of attorney, and his mom, and went through the medical directives document. And so then we had the meeting with the doctor laying out, stop this, stop this, stop this. So no DNR, no remdesivir, no shots, etc. So you can get all these things on file ahead of time. We have these documents on Grace's website under the hospital rescue tab. But I want to share it. So to be very specific with the caller's question. So now we do this. They're on notice. We're getting Robert out of the hospital. By the way, he's alive today. He's just he called me over Christmas. We become friends, and he said, "I'm alive because Grace died." Yeah, anyway. Then we get into what's really going on. And so then about an hour after we went through the medical directives, the nurse came in to give Robert. So, I mean, they almost already killed him. She came in to give him the COVID flu jab. So, yes. So the answer to that question is yes. Your only protection is you've got to have an advocate with you 100% of the time, never leaving. And then that advocate has to demand informed consent, which is your legal right. And that's the only way to protect you from all the things that they can do, because the law protects these people. So realize what they do if they quote, accidentally, end quote, give you the COVID jab that you didn't want while you're in the hospital, what do? You can't sue them. I mean, you hear Dave said we have a lawsuit, which we do. But I mean, that is it. You can't just go out and sue them. We're spending $300,000 of our own money to do that. People, and we're doing it because we want to make a statement to the population. But people don't have $300,000 laying around to file a lawsuit. And the odds of winning is near impossible because there's state statutes that prevent you from winning, which I can go through a lot of those details, Dave. But we answered the caller's question, at least.
We did. Yes, I appreciate that, Scott. Now, this whole scenario obviously is going to unfold, and there are damages that are asked for. The punitive, of course, is the one thing that you were covering about the billion, and wouldn't be a drop in the bucket to Ascension Health. But the thing is that billion would go a long way in a public relations campaign to stop all this nonsense and lobby the legislature and Congress to pass bills to prevent it. But given the fact that we have a government that is so key on eliminating life in America, they want to reduce the population. It's a worldwide agenda because we got a bunch of elites out there that think that, you know, we can't have 7 billion people in the world. We can't care for that many. And, well, you know, it's like the Titanic syndrome. I'm going to get in the lifeboat. The rest of you can go down with the ship. I mean, this is how they think. This reasoning is just all wrong. And unfortunately, it plays itself out in day-to-day situations, just like what happened at St. Elizabeth. So I'm beside myself on the fact that these people would sit there and say one thing and do something completely different. And so now on graceshara.com, is this where the medical paperwork is that people can go and download and fill out?
That's the website that I would like every listener to go to and put in your name and address. We're building a database because we're going to have some calls to action coming up with Grace's case. And so that's our goal with that website. The documents can be found at ouramazinggrace.net. And at ouramazinggrace.net, of course, there's pictures, videos of Grace, but then the hospital rescue tab is there. My own podcast, Deprogramming with Grace's Dad, is there. And we just put up the new spot on the website, Medical Murders, the Number One Cause of Death. And I'm doing a 7-part series. The first part will be released today. And the first part is who's all in on this. And then the second part I'm recording this afternoon, which is the what. So I'm going through who, what, where, why, how, when, and then now what. It's a 7-part series that will all be listed, and all the research and the podcast recordings at ouramazinggrace.net.
Well, I'm sure that it will be very good because you've lived through it. And see, the thing is, folks, we hope that you never, ever have to experience what Scott Shara did with his daughter, with your loved one. And that's one of the reasons why he has ouramazinggrace.net. If you even think that you're having a health issue, you need to go to the website. You need to download the documents, fill out the information. Let Scott know you're there and what you're doing. Help is there if you just ask for it. But don't go to the hospital unprepared, whatever you do. Scott Shara, thanks so much for being on the show with us and giving us the update. Of course, we are going to keep in touch with you as time progresses, as this thing unfolds. So God bless you for all the work you're doing. Fred Jaszewski joins us talking about de-dollarization after the break. Stay with us.
And they did. Not only is zinc amazing for skin healing, it has helped with his neurological behavioral. Somebody is considering taking that zinc and copper, and if, you know, they have a child who struggles with behavioral or neurological aspects, what I found out is that zinc is critical for the natural creation of neurotransmitters. And if you don't have enough neurotransmitters, you can have neurological and therefore behavioral effects that you do not want in your child. Grown by Nature, zinc and copper formula. It helped us now figure out things that will help him for his future.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here in the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thank you so much for joining us back again for this final segment of our show today on this Thursday, the day before autumn equinox kicks in. Fred Dyshevsky, God love you, man.
Good morning. You got the American flag
behind you and everything. For those of you who are watching us on Brighty on Rumble and BitChute after the show, you know, we try to get these things posted up as soon as we can, but it's always on the archives, and you can continually listen to the show and share it with your friends. We appreciate it. We got a big thing going on here because, as you know, our government is really trying to put the screws to us economically. It's perfectly obvious. I think Fred would agree, but we're talking about de-dollarization. This is, you know, we've all been accustomed to the petrodollar, and now we're looking at these countries ganging up on us trying to take that perspective, if you will, away. We're already playing in fiat currency. Anybody that knows anything about the Federal Reserve knows it's not federal, and it's certainly not a reserve. And then we're sitting there signing off our lives away to these rich bankers, these banking cartels in Europe and various other Rothschilds, Warburgs. I mean, you name it. I mean, we already know anybody that's run DB Kid, you know, and the secrets of the Federal Reserve and the Jekyll Island books and everything else that's going on. They understand all this. And so without, you know, belaboring conspiratorial situations that might come up, we're looking at a serious shift in global currency dynamics. As you are, I mean, it's a big paradigm shift. This BRICS thing has got a lot of people upset, this cryptocurrency, and now they want to go to the CBDC. This is the thing that's really, I think, got in everybody's head that, you know, if they do this, we're doomed. They're going to control every single aspect of our life. Where are we going with this, Fred?
You know, it's interesting. There's an awful lot of pushback coming if we go backward in what you've said, starting with the CBDCs. These central bank digital currencies concern a lot of people to the point where there are even senators who are looking to author bills to prevent the Fed from moving forward on it. And their concern, I think, is rightly so in the fact that we've always talked about the idea of how much control government has when it comes to the issue of money. And we are all in this together, whether we like it or not. And we can talk about the history of this. And I'm glad if you're familiar and the listeners are familiar with that background, you know, the secrets of the Federal Reserve and understanding a bit about what happened at Jekyll Island, the formation of a Federal Reserve central bank and the shift of moving monetary policy from the hands of the Treasury Department, which is effectively in control of Congress, through the U.S. government, through the public. So when it's Congress that controls currency, you know, look, in the end, if we're not happy with what these morons are doing, we can vote them out. But when you have a private entity like a central bank operating behind the scenes, these are not elected officials, yet their policies and their decisions affect all of us. And as we move forward into this now, the biggest concern that people have, if we move digital, the first thing that becomes clearly apparent is that every single transaction would then suddenly be visible. There would certainly be no privacy left, whether they...
There's that technical glitch we were talking about here, Fred. this is something that we'll overcome this, folks. I'm going to give you a little bit of a encapsulation while we're trying to fix this audio problem. The BRICS nations are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And the move here is to institute a currency that is centered around their economies and not ours for the purpose of trying to collapse our economy by taking over the world's economy as part of their own agenda. It has nothing to do with the agenda that Americans want, which now this is one of the reasons why you see an uptick in people buying gold and silver and stockpiling junk silver because it's an easier denomination to trade in. And so, we're looking for reasons why to pick up the phone and call our congressperson and say, look, what's your take on this? How is this going to work? If we go digital, what protections do we have? Fred just brought that up. We've had some real serious difficulties here this morning with this particular phone call, folks. So just, excuse that if you would. Fred is a currency expert of U.S. Coin Capital. And of course, his big thing is, what if major oil producers like Saudi Arabia shift their trade preferences away from the dollar? Such a shift could precipitate dramatic rises in interest rates and inflation, applying pressure on the U.S. banking system and the economy at large. Now, but you see, if it's all part of a bigger plan to put us in CBDC and put us in a digital currency to where they have complete control, then they can do what we talked about in the last hour as in the segment with Scott Shara. If medical murder is what medical murder is and they can control what's going on, we have a problem. So, you have Rothschild out there that says, give me control of a nation's currency. I don't care who makes the laws. And they know full well what kind of control that they can put on a population and what kind of calamities they can cause internally. We're already being multiculturalized in America by tens of thousands by the day of have-nots that are going to come in here. And at some point in time, they're going to go take from the haves. And if we go to digital, the have-nots will have nothing and they will come after the people that have it. And there's going to be blood in the streets. I already see it coming. Fred, what's your take on that? We have an audio, situation now. I don't know if we have a microphone at, somewhere there, it's not turned on. We're working through this, folks. I got to get an answer from Fred here because Fred is the authority on this stuff. So we don't want de-dollarization. We have to stop it. And I'm glad that Fred brought up earlier in the show that we've got an issue with people calling their Congress people and senators and demanding to know what's going on. Still nothing happening yet. There we go. I just heard audio.
All right. Can you hear me now?
I can't hear you now. Boy, it sounds like a Verizon commercial, doesn't it?
I'll tell you. This is what I'm always concerned about the technology. And if I were more conspiratorially minded, I would think that they're just trying to prevent us from having this conversation.
Exactly. You know, because they don't want us talking about it. Well, I don't know. You know, there's probably a lot of people going, they're censoring. They're censoring.
That's it.
We know they're censoring. So, I mean, they did this with everything that's going on around us. We're constantly having to pay attention to wondering exactly what their game plan is and what's going to happen next. And what about this EBS test on October 4th? And are they going to actually declare martial law? And are they going to send out high-pitched frequencies and make all these people that got the jab and the graphene oxide go crazy in their brain? I mean, the stuff that's out there right now, it's just like, wow. And now we have this thing about how close, and the Fed, you know this already, Fred, the Fed is already playing with this CBDC.
They're working toward it. I think the technology eventually is going to have to be the case that we will experience a digital currency. I mean, you know, think about the advent of the movement of monetary policy, just from simple paper money to credit cards, and how big that became. And of course, they always sell us on the convenience, right? Isn't that the way that they do this?
Always.
So they're going to give us the pitch. And the pitch is going to be, this is going to be so much easier. It's going to allow for transactions to occur more readily and more quickly and more cost effectively. And they're going to sell us on this concept. But again, I have several concerns about it. The first one, of course, being the privacy. And I think as Americans and as individuals, that should be something that we're worried about. You know, what world do we live in when the government can follow every transaction? And I understand, I mean, there's been the war on cash since the late 1980s. They've tried to prevent the idea of, let's say, you and I meeting with a briefcase full of cash in a parking lot, and I hand you the briefcase and you hand me the goods and services, and we go our separate ways, and there's no record of that transaction, so there's no taxes paid and nobody knows about it. Well, obviously, all of that comes to an end if we go digital, because every single transaction would be within the system. The other thing that concerns me, and I don't hear this talked about an awful lot, is how do we keep account on the flow of capital in the economy? Because as you talked about earlier, we are in a fiat system. So we're printing unbacked money. But I can still go now to the Federal Reserve's accounting and look up, it's actually called FRED, the Federal Reserve's economic data, and I can look at how many bonds they bought this month and what their bond holdings look like and how much cash there is. So we can still follow the trail. But imagine an economy and in a world where this has all gone digital. How do I know when they're sitting at that computer and adding more digits to the number? So they can inflate the hell out of a currency without the public ever knowing about it until the after effect. And I think what's interesting in the last few years is that the inflation problem has become so huge that all the government trickery, which has been going on for decades, isn't working anymore to prevent the public from actually noticing there is a change in the monetary value of their currency. People are experiencing it every day. They go to the supermarket, and every anecdotal instance I get from people about the shock and awe of that cash register receipt when they go to buy the food and goods and services, it's just so much more expensive. And this is because the Fed has been printing a massive amount of capital, especially since 2020. The numbers are absolutely staggering. If you go back just a couple of decades, you know, when we used to talk about this stuff in the 90s, there was about $5 trillion in the M2, the money supply. So that was the money that existed. And, you know, you're looking at $5 an ounce for silver. And now today we have a $34, $35 trillion money supply. You know, silver at $22, $23 an ounce. But the rate at which it's increased has been so dramatic in the past 2 years. The amount of money that we've added has been more than any period before in U.S. history. And it happens so rapidly and so quickly that we're now experiencing the onslaught of what happens when you pump massive amounts of capital into an economy, you get higher prices. But unfortunately, people's wages and income, they're not keeping up with the rising costs and increases that people are experiencing. So it's really, really detrimental to the public wealth that we're going through this system where the default has become every economic problem is solved by the same answer: print more money.
Yeah, it's a big problem. The bigger thing, though, years ago when I first heard the term blockchain came out of the gate, and this is a mirror image type of a system, computer system, that has to run on electricity or some sort of backup. And if we have an EMP strike on this country, all of that is gone. All of it's wiped out. the government can say whatever it wants to try to reassure us, but Peter Vincent Pry and people on the EMP Commission have already said that if all of this goes to hell in a handbasket and we have no electricity, the ATMs don't work, the banking system doesn't work, nothing works. And again, we have the have-nots versus the haves. The have-nots come into the country, all these illegal immigrants. They're already murdering American citizens, and now they want to sit there and throw this equation in, which, I mean, this is just, this compounds everything that we're talking about when you take what you are, you're the expert here, Fred, on all of this stuff. And I can tell by the tone and the conversation and everything else where you're going with this thing that you've studied this stuff religiously for years and you know what they're up to. Some sort of future prediction. I understand that you're, and this is the thing, you mentioned something earlier too, I wanted to bring up. You said that it would be impossible to control cash for cash or cash for service or whatever, because cash is the medium or the store of value or the standard value that we're dealing with. And I'm saying, okay, here we have a guy. He's got a dozen eggs. The other guy's got a pound of bacon. I just made a swap on the street for goods. There is no currency transaction there. The government can't keep track of that. And that's driving him crazy.
That's correct. So, you know their goal, of course, they want absolute control over every single transaction. And they've tried to do that again with the war on cash. So if you remember when they first instituted policies that changed the cash transactions to start reportability at over $10,000, that was step number one. So what they did is they tried to eliminate the large transactions from occurring to prevent all the money laundering that was happening behind the scenes. So the idea was that you couldn't walk into the car dealership and plunk down $40,000 in cash and walk out with a new car without that still being reported, even though you paid cash. Where just back into the 1950s, 60s, even up to the 70s, you could still get away with that. I mean, there wasn't that reportability requirement. So that was step number one on the war on cash. So that wasn't sufficient. So now they're trying to look at more and more transaction activity by instituting anti-money laundering policies, which they started by doing that with the tellers. So here's a bank teller, and this is not somebody who's necessarily spent decades educating themselves on monetary policy or, you know, financial transactions. These are people who got a job working at a bank, and they're supposed to decide when you walk in and make a transaction that that's unusual or suspicious, and that would require them automatically to generate forms and start informing IRS. Now, whether anything comes of that, it's just another process of control and reportability. I have talked to my bank several times. They won't tell us anymore what the number is, but it's no longer 10,000. It's less than that now. Yeah. That they are able to or required to make some reportability transaction reports. And they're starting to also institute policies on other businesses. My industry, for example, in the gold and silver world, they've segregated two different parts of that market. There's the bullion world, which are the products minted out of gold and silver, like the bars, the Krugerrands, the maple leaves, the things that people are familiar with, just the base metal itself that's been refined into some form. All of that now is federally regulated. So what's happened is that they've instituted rules on me as a gold and silver coin dealer that if you come and sell me a bar of gold, I now have to take your Social Security number. I have to file 1099-B with IRS. I have to inform them of that transaction and how much the check I wrote to you was for, which is 100% income to you, unless you can prove you had a cost basis on that product earlier at a lower cost. Now, the coin side of it, the U.S. coins, are free of all that regulation because this is still constitutional money. So I would suggest to those that do use wealth protection in the form of acquiring gold and silver, specifically they should do it in the form of actual coins minted by the United States Treasury that are legal currency of America, that are constitutionally issued money. So they're moving farther and farther all the time into ways of controlling all of the economy's commerce. And in this digital world, I mean, what you're espousing here, the idea of a technological problem coming from the idea that the electricity issue itself becomes an issue, I mean, that, I don't know if they've ever even thought through that problem. How bad is it when a bank fails? You know, you have the unraveling of a bank system, and, you know, look what happened early in spring when we had three bank failures and the craziness that it created throughout the banking system. Literally billions and billions of dollars overnight were pulled from several banks because people had the ability on their cell phones to swipe and move capital. That did not exist years ago. So if a bank experienced a problem, and let's say you heard about it on this morning's news that your bank was experiencing trouble, well, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, you would literally have to walk into the bank and sit down and say, hey, I want to withdraw all my money. And they make you fill out the forms. And it might take a couple hours, a couple of days, maybe. You get your capital. But what happened when the bank failures occurred in spring is the public woke up, heard there was a problem, freaked out, and just swiped and moved the money so quickly the banks never had a chance to deal with the onslaught of people just saying, I don't trust you guys. I'm not waiting to figure out whether or not you really have your act together. I'm out of here. I'm moving my money to someplace I feel safer. So if we're in a digital world and something happens behind the scenes, you know, I mean, think about the cascading problem. Like, we experience power outages where I am here on Hilton Head Island because we're in a hurricane zone. So it happens from time to time. And, you know, people have had to learn how to adjust to that. You have to be prepared for a day or two of no electricity. So, you know, do you have a fireplace or a grill, or do you have a backup generator or something? But on a global scale or a national scale, if there's a fundamental problem with the entire electric grid and we're completely digital, I can't even imagine how that's going to happen. I mean, how is anything going to work in that kind of environment? And what are we doing then? We're going to use silver dimes and quarters to try to conduct commerce? It's going to be an absolute disaster.
Well, it'll be a nightmare. I'm convinced of it. But, you know, the thing is that you got to find out first off what your neighbors are thinking, because those are the ones you're going to have to confront first when they go into panic mode. I mean, this is I've been telling this everybody, and I've got this book out I'm getting ready to write called Doomed to Repeat. And it goes into detail on this whole idea of another civil war, but it's not going to be on the same kind of plane where you got red, you know, blue uniforms on one side and gray on the other side. And they're standing in lines firing at each other. It's not going to be like that at all. It's going to be mayhem, especially in the big city. So,
yeah, I don't have a lot of faith that people are going to deal with this well if it happens. I mean,
I don't either.
I just look at the response. If you want to draw this out, you know, and use as an indicator how people responded to a couple of bank failures in the spring, if that's any indication of how people are going to react, if there's a bigger problem, you're right. It's going to be absolute anarchy. And it's going to come down to the old, you know, the guns and butter. You know, you better be able to protect your own behind and be prepared and know your neighbors, because it's going to come down to that. I just hope we never experience anything that dramatic. I mean, I've been promoting the idea of diversifying into gold and silver coins because I'm concerned about inflation eroding the wealth of the public. I've watched too many people who've established their own retirement accounts decades early enough and get what they expect, but didn't account for the change in buying power. So they get the amount of money they thought they would get, but what they didn't figure on is how much less that amount of money would actually buy by the time they went to use it. So that's been my concern over the years, and the rate at which the monetary policy has shifted to where our current policy is, again, print and print and print. Every economic problem, just print our way out of it. And, you know, I think people have almost forgotten we're still addressing problems from the 2008 and 2009 economic disaster. There's still $4 trillion sitting on the Federal Reserve's balance sheet from having addressed that problem with the massive government bailout of Wall Street.
Exactly.
And here we are now doing the same thing again, except the 2020 bailout, instead of going to Wall Street, it went to the public, but it created literally trillions of new dollars, and the economy is not growing enough to absorb that. So the gap between the two is creating an inflation problem that it's just the largest we've seen. I mean, a lot of us have been around since the 70s. We remember the Carter years and what inflation looked like, but there's an entire generation of Americans who've never experienced inflation more than a couple percent. Remember, the Fed kept rates at zero for 7 years after the 2009 debacle. So effectively, people were able to get mortgages for next to nothing and have credit card accounts that didn't have a lot of interest on them. We got away with murder. And now that rates have gone up 20 times, we're now in a completely different world. You know, now the Fed paused yesterday and said, okay, we're going to take a break. But they kept saying that they're still concerned because the wage market is still strong and the labor market is strong and the economy looks a little better than they want. And they're trying to figure out, can we raise the rates enough to beat back this inflation problem we created, but not go too far to tip the scales and tighten the screws so much that we choke economic activity back to putting the country back into recession, like what we were coming out of during the end of the Barack Obama years. So this is just insanity. Raise rates, lower rates, you know, print more money, and then couple that with a government that just can't control its deficit spending problem. No matter what people do, no matter what people we put into power, we can't seem to find somebody who just simply say, okay, enough is enough. The government is bleeding money. Do you know the interest payments now this year on the national debt are going to be larger than the entire national debt was in 1998? Exactly. We had $900 billion in total national debt in the late 90s. It was almost at that point still addressable by congressional action. Now the interest payments are going to be over $1 trillion, maybe $1.5 trillion.
Crazy. Well, there you have it. Fred Deshefsky, thanks so much for being on the show. This is a conversation we could just go on and on for hours talking about, folks.
I love it. Well,
we're out of time, but we're going to have you back. We're going to have you back.
I appreciate it.
I love this conversation. It was all good. And just understand, folks, you know, this is the thing. Gold, silver coin. I mean, it's okay. I understand junk silver. I understand the whole thing.
Great,
but you got to look out and get yourself into stuff that's real, stuff that has intrinsic value. That's where it's all at, because this fake money system is not working. Anyway, thank you, sir. We'll bring you back. In the meantime, God bless you for the work you're doing.
Appreciate
God
it. Bless Great to be with
States
you.
Of America. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.